Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's the White Riot Show coming at you somewhat live. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And Judo Larry M. We're here again after last week's momentous show. Monumental, huge show last week.
You got a big return, big ups from everyone.
Big ups from everyone. We busted the 1 hour time limit that we usually keep, but it didn't seem like it ran that long. It was very lively. Things kept popping, and people seemed to appreciate it.
Yeah, usually when you have a lot of interesting stuff, it just rolls right along, and you can tell from people's reaction to it. They love it.
So. And we certainly have a lot of stuff to get to this week, but first, let's start off with the usual part of the show that you love.
Pimping.
That's right.
Huggy Bear time.
That's right. It's Huggy Bear time. You're listening to The White Riot Show, which can be found on whiteriotshow.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Stitcher, Player.fm. Just look for The White Riot Show on all of those fine platforms. Coming soon to Filmon.com in their podcast section. White Riot Show going international with the mega site Filmon. .com. You could catch us there as well.
Spell that for everyone.
FILMON. FilmOn.com. Usually, you know, that's that big Russian billionaire, Alki David, set up that site, Judo Larry M.
Oh.
And it brings local TV over the internet.
So I thought his name was Ivan Koloff.
No. No, I guess not.
Nikita Koloff.
There you go.
You're about to cheap.
Nice Ric Flair impersonation there. But also, don't forget, you can catch us on Facebook.com/White Riot Show. You can catch us on YouTube.com/White Riot Show, home of the exclusive home of the riotous clips, which everyone seems to love. And then finally, our favorite tool for trolling everybody and everything, Twitter.com. Go to Twitter.com/White Riot Show. Catch the stream of consciousness that comes out of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. on the internet. And Judo Larry M., that trolling last week paid off huge dividends.
Yes, it did. In fact, you should mention that you got to make an appearance of a sort.
Yes. So finally, it seems that all my bitching, trolling, and just general being an asshole towards Pete Dominic finally wore him down last week.
Why, what happened?
So, you know, I'm getting ready in the morning to get to the day's events, the calendar. I'm about to leave my house. It's about 7:30 in the morning, and I check my Twitter stream like I always do. And there's Pete Dominic, who was getting ready for his show, I guess. He must have had some sort of guest on, and he said, you know, he tweeted out, "I wish the White Riot Show would call in right about now."
Okay.
So never one to avoid a confrontation, Judo Larium. You know that about me.
Absolutely.
I picked up the phone and I called, ironically enough, I called up our old studio line, which still like blows my mind.
That freaks you out that people used to call you for sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same number we used to dial when we had the
the
show at Sirius, the same studio as Pete Dominic. Again, a big freak out there. But anyway, so his producer comes on and she says, "Who is it? What's your name?" You know, things like that. And I said, "Oh, this is John from the White Riot Show. Pete asked me to via Twitter to dial." And she goes, "Oh, hold on." You know, like, so we get on the phone and immediately, like, without even introducing, he goes, "Yeah, it's the White Riot Show guy." He goes, "What does it take for you Republicans not to be so emotional about things? Why don't you make things based on logic? Why don't you show some intelligence? Why don't you believe in climate change?" Like, I mean, it was this litany of, like, painting me as some, like, nutty, right-wing, irrational type of, you know.
And I was dare he?
Yeah, right? And I was like, "Wait a second. What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm not listening to your show right now. What was going on?" Had this nice, I would say a decent 10-minute conversation with him on the air. His tone was a little hostile, but I got to give him credit. He didn't cut me off or anything. He let me talk. So he was asking me, he goes, "Why do you find government coercive?" And I gave my explanations. You know, taxes are a form of coercion. Then he wanted me to know that when you charge a flat tax rate on everyone, a flat rate, that's not progressive.
I know that.
Yeah, and I said, no, that's what fair means. You see, percent comes from the Latin, percentum, which means the same per 100 units. That is the mathematical definition of fairness. My calm tone was driving him batshit crazy as he was talking to me. Because I think he expected like one of these Tea Party nuts or something.
Yeah, he was hoping he'd get you to rant and rave.
Right. And I didn't. And then he goes, all right, forget about taxation. What about climate change? Are you one of these people who deny science because you're all into religion and stuff? And I go, all right, before you continue, you need to know that I hold degrees in biology and computer science. And he goes, oh. Okay, so you might be one of the reasonable ones. He just could not get over on me. And then finally, when he couldn't bait me into going nuts on him, he just basically said, okay, John, thanks for calling in. Bye. Right? Hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is that, oh, and he also wanted to know that, you know, he's happy when he makes money and he pays more taxes. He's happy. And I said, see, that's the beauty. In my system of taxation, you're free to cut a check to the government anytime you want.
Stupid.
But in your system, I'm not free not to cough up my hard-earned money to the government. But anyway, so after the appearance, it was amazing. We picked up like 30 or 50 followers to the White Riot Show on Twitter. Like, they heard me and they were just like, wow, okay. The funny part was the next day, I was commuting into the office on last Friday. And he had a guest on, somebody named John Fugelang, something like that. He's a stand-up comedian, something like that. Yeah. I don't know his name. He was a stand-up left-wing comedian out of Minnesota, and I guess he was trying to be funny. And then he tweeted out and he goes, I really wish the White Riot Show would call in now, as if to challenge me, like, okay, now take on this guy. And unfortunately, I was on the road. I couldn't call in legally because I was on the road. So I just sent him a tweet saying, the next time you need me, please give me 5 minutes notice. No problem. You know, but I can't call you right now. So there you go. That's what you get for trolling Pete Dominic and other celebrities on Twitter, Judolarium. Eventually, you get invited to call into your old studio.
You get to go your own studio on your own line and talk with some half-assed liberal about things that they don't know anything about. This guy's built his whole reputation as beating up on like Tea Party people.
Yeah. And look, for what I tried catching his show a little bit more just to get more of a beat on him after that incident this week. I mean, he's not crazy liberal. I wouldn't call him like a Chris Matthews or a Touré or anything like that. He does attempt to try to be a little bit fair. But the truth of the matter is, like, those types of people, and I guess you could say the same about me or someone else like yourself, Judolarium, it becomes very difficult to try to get them to concede anything to the opposition. And a lot of times, they paint pictures of the opposing side. Like, this guy was convinced that anybody who holds our beliefs, the beliefs that you and I may share, has to be a Bible-thumping, irrational, unintelligent person. It can't be someone who thoughtfully came to these positions.
Right. Well, that's typical from people on the left. It also goes to show that they don't listen to this show.
Right.
Because they would know that I've more than harangued religious people who I think were unreasonable.
Right.
I mean, I understand that there are serious religious people and they're not ridiculous.
Right.
But hence my fascination with the Creation Museum, because that's got to be hilarious.
Yeah, I know you're right. But even the other thing, like, no conservative, no libertarian can be against the science, quote unquote, science that's being presented for climate change.
No, the problem with liberals is something which I know drives you nuts, which is they just think that they're like intellectually superior to everybody.
It does drive me crazy.
And that's just typical. He gets you on and he tries to jump on you right away and gives you like a litany of stupid talking points that he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Climate change. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know what my interest is in climate change and all that? A few years ago, Pelosi went over to Europe with like a whole contingent of people.
Course.
And Jack Cafferty actually gave her a hard time about this.
Oh, really?
She refused to account for all the money she spent on planes, hotels, and like the entourage of like 100 people who
went
with her.
And all the fuel she burned.
Yeah. So, look, enough with these people.
Well, liberals
but
like
I'm
that.
Glad, I'm glad he I give him some credit.
Look,
he put
credit.
You on.
He
doesn't need to put you on.
Absolutely not.
Even though we were better in that studio than,
than he'll ever be, right?
And we ate all the desserts.
No. That's a different story. Please, no. I think there might be still some legal ramifications for that, Judolarium, so we don't want to talk about it.
That's right, because everybody knows the pretzels were free.
Anyway. Moving on. So again, thank you, Pete Dominic. I'll be the first to say that for inviting us, giving Big Fat John the chance to appear on your show. Oh, by the way, Let's also pimp something else that I forgot about, Judo Lyrium. Vine, the new craze sweeping the internet, the six-second videos from Vine. This week, check out the new Vine, one each, one from Big Fat John and one from Judo Lyrium, so you guys can check out the artistic slash comedic slash fucked up notions of six-second cinema from Big Fat John and Judo Lyrium.
6 seconds, the total attention span of the White Rider.
Yeah. This week, I'll give you, you know, last week, Judo Lyrium and I introduced ourselves via our first Vines. This week, Judo Lyrium will impart, some ancient Japanese wisdom, of course, owing to his background in the martial arts, of course. Domo, Larry-san.
Thank you, Mr. Roboto. That was
and,
horrible.
Big Fat John, I put down my six-second encounter with one of those new 3D printers.
Oh, I saw that. That was hilarious.
Because despite what Pete Dominic thinks, I am a scientist, goddammit. And I was interested in one of these things and seeing how they work. So Big Fat John took a visit to a 3D printer and captured on Vine. All right. We said there was a lot of things to talk about this week, Judo Lyrium. Let's start off with the big one this week.
Okay.
The NSA. National Security Agency.
Yep.
And Judo Lyrium, why don't you ask me what the mandate of the NSA is?
Hey, you know what I was just thinking, John?
What's that?
What's the fucking mandate of the NSA?
I'm glad you asked. Now, a lot of people seem to think that the NSA is some sort of stripped down CIA slash FBI slash whatever. Listen, the mandate of the NSA is very simply this. They are to collect intelligence, provide tabs on people, situations, and everything, sort of like the CIA, but only against foreign interests.
Right.
They're not in their mandate. They don't have the funding. They don't have the legal authority or anything to collect information on American citizens.
Right.
I think the only exception might be is if an American citizen, say, is calling a foreign national, like, say, somebody in Afghanistan or some high-risk area, then they're allowed to wiretap. Now, this week, it was revealed, actually not this week, yesterday, it was revealed that the by the Guardian paper in the UK, that the NSA had legally forced Verizon, the cell phone carrier, to provide metadata on millions of Americans.
Yes, I saw that, and that's a little scary because I have Verizon.
Yeah. Well, it's scary on a lot of fronts, Judo Lyrium. First of all, what the fuck is the NSA doing? And by the way, without a warrant, without probable cause on any of these millions of people.
It's like the Patriot Act.
Worse than the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Gathering intel on innocent Americans.
Yes. Unless, of course, the argument, which I assume it's going to be, is that they're concerned about some terrorism.
Well, that's always the argument.
And that they need these numbers so they can...
Well, what's interesting about it is when this broke late last night, so we're in New York, so it broke somewhere around midnight, 11:30 p.m., and I was up. I started tweeting immediately my thoughts on it, which were like that this is horrible. And initially, the wave of concern, even Al Gore tweeted out that he thought it was ridiculous and outrageous. James Carville. Remember James Carville?
Yeah.
The Clinton advisor, Cajun or whatever his name is.
Bald knucklehead.
Mm-hmm. Even he couldn't defend it. You know, yeah. The best he could do was like, I don't think Obama's directly related, you know, or something like that. And he was talking about the IRS. He was talking about all the scandals. But here's my issue with it is when the Patriot Act was enacted, you and I both got on the radio at the time. We were doing a show called The Council of Three. You and I both got on the radio and said, we are against the Patriot Act.
Absolutely. Still am.
It's a violation of our civil liberties. I am willing to concede to people, Judo Lyrium, that the Constitution is not a suicide pact. I am here to concede that there are times where you might have to suspend liberty, individual liberty, for the sake of the greater good.
Right.
I understand that. But that usually comes with conditions. I need a judge to sign a warrant. I need probable cause.
I know, but they've been doing warrantless wiretaps.
Well, I know. I'm just setting the stage, right? Yeah. That's what I would need for someone to tap my phone. For example, when the FBI or the Justice Department wanted to put all those mobsters in jail, they used wiretaps, right? A lot of the, like, New York Mafia was put away by who? Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
Through the use primarily of wiretaps. They followed people around for years until they got the evidence they needed.
But they were properly signed and
exactly
they dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Right.
These guys aren't doing shit. I mean,
right. The Fourth Amendment was followed.
Right.
Right? So you had the situation back then that you had to get a judge, say, okay, yeah, there's probable cause. Go ahead, put your wiretap in. And by the way, this is the only thing, you know, and the judge would usually set the limits of what was within the scope of the wiretap.
Right.
Like, okay, you can tap his business phone, but you can't tap the phone that he calls to fuck his mistress or whatever, right?
Right.
This, though, this is what's scary. They just had a blanket, the NSA just got this blanket thing to say, collect all this metadata. Now, one of their excuses, well, we weren't really listening to the conversations. We were just triangulating where the calls were going, where they were originating from, how long they lasted, how often they called each other and shit like that. But I mean, it's still such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, it's not good.
And Judo Larry M., I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. Don't you agree? Between Benghazi, the IRS, the AP scandal, harassing the Fox reporter.
Yeah, the Tea Party people.
The Tea Party being targeted by the IRS specifically. Now this.
Yeah.
How long can fucking Obama apologists, whether it's Chris Matthews, Touré, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Pete Dominic, whoever. How long can you fucking just turn a blind eye to this? How long can you say that this guy knows nothing?
Right. And then on top of it, if this happened under the previous president.
Or any president.
But if this happened specifically under the previous
president. Oh, sure.
Like if he had gone after people at MSNBC or like something.
Right.
They would be livid. It would be all that they talked about. And you know that Rupert Murdoch about a year ago had trouble with
the cell phone.
And they went nuts on it.
Sure.
They just kept talking on it. They wouldn't shut up about it. The story like blew over in like 2 weeks.
Right.
So what bothers me with the left is they're just such hypocrites.
Right.
And now they're going to defend this and they're going to act like that there's some purpose. You know, this ties into what I talked about when we first started the show. One of the things that I brought up that annoyed the hell out of me, we talked about we were against the Patriot Act. Okay.
Right.
About 2 years ago or 3 years or whatever it was, I'm flipping through the paper and there's this tiny little article about it says Obama extends Patriot Act for 3 years.
Right.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, where's the uproar? Where's the, you know, where's Michael Moore having a shit in his pants over? I mean, nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Because Obama did it.
Yeah, because he did. So if he did it, it must have been the right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, there must be actually like a reason behind it.
Right.
And all that proves to you is, you know, it's one thing to be campaign douchebag.
Right.
But now you're sitting behind the big desk and you're looking out at the world.
Yeah.
And even though I still on principle, I don't like the Patriot Act. I don't like that they're putting cameras everywhere.
Right.
It's nuts. But he must have seen some value in it that he went, all right, we're actually getting important information from all this.
Unless, and you know, 6 months ago, you would have said, what I'm about to say would sound crazy, but who knows if he was collecting information on political opponents? I don't know.
Yeah, he could have been following around the Romney kids.
He could have been following the Romney kids.
Finding out what Mormons do.
He could try to find out where Michelle is so he can go get laid on the side. I don't know what's going on.
He's got a lot of douchey things going on.
Obama is one of the worst presidents in history. And I'm telling you this, and people are going to say, and we'll get into it in a second, but listen, Clinton, even in retrospect, Clinton doesn't come out that bad. History will be very favorable towards Clinton. It's not easy enough for me to say. He wasn't a conservative. He wasn't a Republican. It's against me politically. But let's be honest. He was a good, moderate president who presided over a booming economy. He managed to be checks and balances between him and Gingrich. It went back and forth. Yeah, Monica Lewinsky, he got blown. It was a thing that he perjured himself. But
he signed on for 7 of the 10 contract with America concerts. But look, you know, I always gave that guy credit.
Yeah.
I always said he did a solid job.
Right.
I didn't despise him like other people. You know, look, I'm not a conservative anymore. You know, I'm very libertarian. And I didn't care about the Hummer.
Yeah.
I just didn't care. I mean, I understand it's not right. And I understand he lied.
Right.
And I knew when he denied it, he lied.
Yeah.
Like everybody, which is what set everybody that went off to get him.
Right.
But, you know, like, look, as far as I'm concerned, that's between him and his ridiculous wife. I mean, I don't care what he's doing.
Right.
And I mean, I certainly didn't think it was like an impeachable offense.
Oh, of course not.
But look, I've always said, even right after he was out of office, I said, look, this guy did not do a bad job.
Right.
The only thing which I will take away from him that he does not acknowledge, which I think is lame, you know, for instance, right now on HBO or Showtime, one of those, they're running a 1 hour, 1.5 hour thing on Reagan.
Right.
That Dan Rather and somebody else put together. And, you know, they talked about how he took on the Soviet Union and took them down.
Right.
And everything Reagan did to the Soviet Union, not to go off on a tangent here, but that came to fruition while Bush Sr. was in office, and all those countries started falling.
Right.
That was because of what Reagan did.
Of course.
And what it meant is when by the time Bill Clinton got elected, he became the first post-World War II president.
Cold War president.
No, but post-World War II,
right,
who didn't have to deal with the Soviet Union.
Right, right.
Okay, so, or Cold War, that's fine. But the point is, you know, all he had to do is, you know, not do an end zone dance and spike the ball. You know, you know. So, but I always gave him credit as doing a solid job.
Right.
You know.
And it's really instructive because, again, if you're listening to me and Larry here, you might say, well, you guys are so biased and that's why you're, you know. But yes, but here's the thing. The same way most liberals will give Reagan credit and say, look, in retrospect, he did okay. It wasn't like you.
Yeah, but some of them won't.
No, some of them won't. Those are the hardcore. And I'm assuming you might find the same hardcore right-wingers that would say Clinton was the devil, too. I'm talking about the reasonable people on both sides, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Reagan, for a lot of reasons, was very special to me and Larry and to a lot of other folks who grew up or formative years were under Reagan, you know.
Yeah.
Clinton, the same thing, right? But when you look at Obama, it's hard. Listen, I read an article, and I was arguing with people about this. I read an article that says that Obama, through the first 6 years of his presidency, is the worst producing president in terms of the economy. And not only is he the worst in the last 60 years, he is the worst in the last 60 years by a factor of over two.
Well, wait, he's worse than Carter?
Worse than Carter.
That's, I find that hard.
And I'll tell you why.
I mean, I'm not taking a
cheap shot.
I lived through those years.
They listed out the GDP, the growth, and everything. And here's the thing. In the last 60 years, whenever there was a recession, it was followed by boom times, okay? The size of which was determined by policy. So Reagan went through it. Clinton went through it. I think Eisenhower. You know, there was a lot of different presidents in there. But here's the thing. If you took all those situations, Obama, like to like, apples to apples, he is the worst president by a factor of two, which means if you took the next worst guy and cut their performance in half, they would still be better than Obama.
Yeah.
Okay? These fucking liberals, they went crazy. They said, well, it's bullshit. Bullshit. It's Bush's fault. I go, how's it Bush's fault? Bush is one of those people that they're counting in the last 60 years, right? Well, they left him with bullshit. So what? Reagan had just as bad or worse a situation.
Oh, he had a
from Carter, you know, because people forget now inflation is under control. When Reagan took office, inflation was over 6%.
No, it was 14%.
14% at one point. Excuse me. And you look at things like when you bought a home, it was very common to get a 13% 30-year fixed mortgage back then.
Yeah.
Reagan knew he had to tighten the money supply. He knew interest rates would go up, but he had to battle inflation. He had to get inflation under control, which is a monetary situation. Anyway, my point being, and Reagan did this with a hostile Congress for the first 6 years of his presidency, unlike Obama. Obama has at least the Senate on his side. And for the first 2 years of his thing, he had both Senate and House. So please stop making excuses, you fucking liberals. All this is on Obama. I've heard this. Oh, the Republicans are obstructionist. Yes, that's what minority parties do.
Well, what did the Democrats do when Bush was in office?
Yeah, exactly.
Were they cooperative? The only thing that they, which drives me crazy, is that a lot of them voted for the Iraq War.
Yeah.
You know, Hillary, Kerry.
Now
they all ran for the hills because it's not popular anymore.
Yeah.
That's what led to that ridiculously awkward moment in the 2004 election with John Kerry.
Yeah.
He's speaking to a guy, like, I voted for the Iraq War before I voted against it. Like that whole, did you ever see that quote?
It's like
the stupidest.
Or also that famous clip where George Bush is basically begging Congress to cut back on these ridiculous home loans that were being given out to people and to rein in Fannie and Freddie and Pelosi and Barney Frank accusing him of being anti-poor, anti-black, anti-minority because he wants to take away their American dream by not getting them a house.
Right.
Of all people, Bush Jr. was sounding the alarm about the impending housing bubble, folks.
Right.
And I'm not making this up. Look at the fucking tape. It's there.
It's there. And I know he was pointing out that you're giving loans to people who there's like a 90-something percent chance they're not going to be able to handle it and pay it back.
Yeah.
And that's really where a lot of this crisis is now that you have.
Which
all
is starting
these people,
up again, by the way.
Yes. And you've got all these people. And I was just reading something about it today, that Obama's new refi plan.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter matter what your credit score is.
Right.
It doesn't matter
right.
anything. And you can apply and get like
of course.
Your mortgage like cut in half.
Yeah.
Look, I understand that in his weird way, he means well there, but
yeah.
you've allowed people to get mortgages they can't pay. And now you're kind of, you're giving them like a bailout.
Hey, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know what I mean? Just because you mean well, it doesn't mean that you end up doing well. And for people who say, well, you know, you're absolutely right, Judo Lariam. Why not let banks decide who's the best credit risk? Let them decide who's capable of paying back a mortgage. Why is the Community Reinvestment Act still in place? That's one of the primary reasons for the housing bubble.
Yeah, but he's done a lot of these things. You've got,
of course he does.
You've got the refi plan with the mortgages. You've got the credit card thing that yeah. he put through.
With Elizabeth Warren, that right. fucking dumb bitch.
Okay, and then, you know, you've got the Obamacare, the Affordable yeah. Health Care Act, yeah. which now is going to cost us
oh.
ridiculous amounts.
I have some numbers
on that. He said that there would be a savings overall of like $110 billion.
That's what's great is the goddamn program hasn't even started and it's already over budget. And California, as a matter of fact, the numbers are in as to what the effects of Obamacare are. And in just about every situation, premiums go up in terms of cost.
Right.
Coverage goes down a little bit. Plus, you have the burden of government coercion, reduction of civil liberties, and you're putting the IRS in fucking charge.
And small businesses.
And small businesses are getting crushed.
Killed.
To the point where they're firing all their employees.
Yeah. They have to reduce their staff
their
to whatever
staff,
they can
yeah.
actually afford
right.
under the provisions of this plan, and they can suffer penalties.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Obamacare. Because, again, it doesn't matter if you meant well. This was a ridiculous plan. And, yes, I understand it came from Romney. And that's why I called Romney Obama light.
Yeah. It is based on a lot of what he did in Massachusetts.
Which is fucked up.
Right, which is not good.
I mean, why is it that no one can understand basic economics? That's the part that baffles me.
Yeah.
Like, you have an idiot like Paul Krugman who thinks there's no such thing as too little spending. For him, spending is everything.
Right.
Constantly
spending. Well, his last book, all he talks about is the debt that we have doesn't matter because it's money we owe ourselves. It's not like owing a credit card company. And, like, I feel like a cartoon when I hear
yeah.
that, and like the smoke
yeah.
is coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
He's so stupid, and he just kept making the argument. He goes, look, you just got to keep spending money.
Right.
And that's like eventually, like in his opinion, it's just eventually going to goose the economy.
Right.
And as far as soaking the rich, like that's a great idea. I was like, I was watching him on some show, and like, how did, you know, like this proves to me that he got a Nobel Prize or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the people on the committee must think exactly the same way he did. So he wrote these yeah. kind of things. And like, oh, wow, you're brilliant. Let us give you a fucking award.
Right.
Like,
anything that falls outside the hard sciences for that Nobel committee is bullshit. The Peace Prize, the Economics Prize.
Well, the Peace Prize now is officially a joke.
Well, because, it was always a joke.
Because in 2008, Obama gets elected, right?
Yeah.
And then 10 days after he's in office, they gave him a Peace
yeah,
Prize.
Yeah, well, that's what
does
I'm
anybody
saying,
even remember that?
Of course.
They gave him a fucking Peace Prize. What did he do?
Nothing.
And their argument was they were giving it to him based on what they thought he was going to do in the future.
Right, right, right.
Now, if they knew that he was going to give the order to shoot pirates,
yeah.
the Somali pirates,
right.
30,000 troops more into Afghanistan yeah. at some point,
right.
his own kind of surge.
Right.
He killed bin Laden.
Right.
He fought the war indirectly in Libya. He let the French take the lead, but we did a lot of the heavy lifting.
And he has no rhythm. For a black guy, he can't dance.
No, he can't. And it was horrible that he sent a lesbian to heckle his wife the other day.
Oh, man, we'll get to that in a second, too. But listen to this. These are some numbers that came out of the Cato Institute around Obamacare. The number of new taxes in Obamacare is 18. 18 new taxes because of Obamacare, including 12 that directly violate Barack Obama's firm pledge not to tax anybody making under 250 grand.
Right.
So 12 out of the 18, two-thirds,
right.
affect people that we would consider middle
also,
class.
Also, I think we should give a shout-out to the libertarians at Reason Magazine, because
yeah.
when it first went through, it was the people at Reason, this is where I found this out, they reported on something that's just called the Doc Fix. DOC,
right.
Doc Fix. And they were specifically talking about his asserting that we were going to save so
right,
much money.
Right.
And they were talking about this additional cost that's built into the healthcare system that is going to cost so much money. And they said this early on. There's no way in the world we're going to save any money
right,
on
right.
this. And it's going to cost us an arm and a leg. And they were absolutely right.
Of course.
So,
and listen,
shout out to Reason.
Of course. And listen to this. The tax for not buying government-approved health insurance that the IRS will be charged with enforcing... $695. That's a tax.
That's a tax.
So if you don't buy something they approve of, 695 extra. How many more IRS agents, that lovely agency that we all know is so upright and honest and wouldn't target opponents or anything like that, and they're fully trustable, right? Trustworthy, rather. 1,954 new employees dedicated to basically enforcing Obamacare.
It's terrible.
60 million. That's the number of medical records that the IRS has been charged with improperly seizing. They have to grab the medical records to figure out that you're actually part of Obamacare.
Right.
60 million records fall into the hands of the IRS, which again, Jude O'Larian, why would we doubt that they would be anything?
Yeah, other than honest.
Than honest and sincere with our medical records.
My God.
Right?
This is ridiculous.
Isn't this ridiculous? $1 trillion, the new revenue raised by Obamacare in its first 10 years alone, right? According to the Congressional Budget Office, that would only rise in future decades. So it is a disaster. It is a fucking disaster.
Not only is it bad health care, it's just a tax.
And it's a tax, and it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It's ruining all the gains, all the free market or largely free market gains.
And also all the people on the left, when this was coming out, they wanted a single payer.
Yeah.
They didn't want really this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it had some pieces.
And even the single payer thing's a fucking joke anyway.
Yeah, that's bullshit too. But that's what they wanted. Lunatics like Oberman used to yell
about that. Oh, of course. But Oberman, why don't we just admit certain things? Maybe the people on the right aren't as sensitive to minority issues. And let's just admit that people on the left don't know a fucking thing about economics.
Well, that's always been my argument. The economics and foreign policy, I really like to keep liberals away from it.
Yes, absolutely.
And conservatives, I'm not crazy about them being in on social issues. Because, <Right. laughs> to me, their solution for everything is like the Fonz is going to come punch the jukebox and make their lives nice again. So conservatives away from social issues, liberals away from everything else.
Unbelievable. But here's the thing. I think I figured out what Obama's plan is. He plans on having a scandal every 6 weeks until he gets out of office. That way nobody can nail him on anything.
Yeah. Plus they reported the other day that he's got some arrangement already with the Clintons that he's going to endorse Hillary. Yeah.
I can't wait for that bitch to run. They're going to come out on her.
I never thought I'd say this. We would have been much better off with her.
Oh, I admit it. Oh, I admit please. It. Yeah. Listen, she has more balls than Obama. She has more balls than Bill, as far as I'm concerned. And by balls, I'm not being figurative. I think she has a pair of testicles somewhere under there.
I wonder if they're black.
The testicles?
Yeah. Hers, not his.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing. I agree with you. I hate to admit it, too. We would have been better off with Hillary for one reason and one reason only.
Yes.
No, she's a lot like Bush. Right or wrong, she's got a fucking opinion. She's got a set of beliefs.
Right.
And you know where she stands.
And you know what she's going to do.
And you know what she's going to do. And she'll tell you she's doing it. This fucking guy, Obama, everything other than killing Bin Laden and those pirates, he claims he learns from CNN.
Oh, please.
He learned about the IRS scandal from CNN. He learned about Benghazi from CNN.
Yeah, he never knows anything.
He never knows anything. Now, when Reagan or anybody else would claim that they didn't know something happened, they're senile. They don't pay attention. They're stupid. They're not intelligent.
Right. Remember the Iran-Contra thing? They used to say, Reagan knew all about it. Well, maybe he did. He didn't. Look at this guy. You're going to tell me he doesn't know about all this?
Yeah, we're not insinuating it. He's telling us he doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
So what the fuck? Like I said a couple of shows ago, that means he's either a liar or incompetent.
Or both.
Pick one. Or both.
Or both.
But pick one. You know what I'm saying?
My favorite answer from school, all of the above.
All of the above. Don't give them a fucking slide on this, Jude O'Larian.
Yeah, but they're going to. They still love him.
Well, the
just
media
like,
still loves him.
That guy, Ernie, what's his name? Ernie Goldberg or Arnie Goldberg, whatever his name is. He's always on Fox.
Yeah.
And he's always on O'Reilly, too. And yeah. He used to be a very liberal guy. Now he's pretty conservative. Goldblum, what is his name? But
whatever.
He has a book out called A Slobbering Love Affair.
Yeah.
Which people got, and it's how like just the media just licks Obama's taint. Like
slobbering? Does that mean like a wet blowjob type of thing?
It means Hummer Deluxe. It's disgusting, though.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but they're never going to go after him. Look, even when the Benghazi thing came out, that was before the election. You would have thought that there would have been some interest. They just killed that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, didn't they catch the one guy testified that the administration contacted whoever in Libya or somebody and said, look, just don't say anything until we can get like our version of events out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's stupid shit. Like, look at the IRS scandal. Look at the reporter scandal. You have signed documents with people's signatures on them, and they're still denying the shit. Yeah. How Eric Holder still has his job is beyond me. Yes, Susan Rice.
But this guy should have stepped down.
Right. Susan Rice, the head architect of the lying tour over Benghazi, the denial tour over Benghazi, was named this week the head of the NSA. So if you got Susan Rice, who lied for the president, there's a quid pro quo thing going on, plus he's doing it to stick it to the Republicans. Right. He took Susan Rice and made her the head of the NSA. 2 days later, the NSA is revealed to be involved in this phone tapping scandal.
Right.
And of course, you have the media like Martin Bashir, who I might say sounds like a limey fruit.
And he is.
Can I? I don't know if he is or not. I don't think you do either. I'm saying he sounds like a limey fruit.
No, I'm saying he was an extra on Benny Hill.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. But listen, this guy got up and said in his blog that essentially Republicans are using the IRS as the current N-word.
Oh, please.
Hurling it at the first black president because there's a black man in the White House. And he tried to tie it into what Lee Atwater once said that said, look, Lee Atwater, when he ran Bush's campaign, Papa Bush's campaign, said that you have to learn how to scare people in the proper way, right? So he said in the 50s or the 40s, you could use the word nigger in a political campaign.
Yeah.
Right? That in the South, they would say, like, you don't want to let the niggers get out of control or something like that. The something. Old Jim Crow shit, right?
Right.
And he said in the 60s and the 70s, that word became unpopular. You couldn't say that. So you had to use things like urban or busing or, you know, whatever. But I think what he was trying to say was that the context of it was that you had to find other ways to motivate people to do things, that it didn't have to be pure race, you know? And here, Martin Bashir was trying to take that concept from one man from almost 30 years ago and tie it into what's going on now. Except the only difference is, asshole, the IRS did do something. It's not code for anything.
Right.
It's not code for black or the N-word, which, by the way, grow a pair of balls and use the word you want to say.
Well, nigger. Yeah, but everybody does that these days.
No, I know, but I hate that shit. Why are you saying N-word? Does that somehow make you holier than the assholes that actually use that word? You're using it. You're just trying to comfort yourself with a PC way of labeling it. You want to say nigger? Say nigger. But that's it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
Yeah. Who are you trying to protect? But anyway, my point is how utterly ridiculous of a journalist.
Yeah.
And I use, what am I doing?
The air quotes.
Air quotes around journalist, this asshole on MSNBC, Martin Bashir. Are you trying to tell me that Bush is somehow exempt from criticism because he's black?
No, not Bush.
I'm sorry, Obama?
Yeah.
Obama is somehow exempt from criticism because he's black?
Well, they were doing that a lot when he first got elected. If you criticized him for anything, they immediately questioned your motive as just being racial. So that was their way of diffusing any criticism of him whatsoever, which is outrageous since part of being president is you have to be able to take criticism.
Right.
You have to be able to take abuse.
And the best part for Obama is because the mainstream media is so in love with him, he doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
He just sits there. And if anybody says, well, what do you think about these attacks? Very defensively, he gets up and he says, I didn't tell him to do anything.
Right.
I didn't tell him to make those stupid statements. Right. I didn't tell Martin Bashir to say that.
Right.
But we all know what's going on.
Yeah. Look, he even makes jokes of it. When they have those dinners where he gets to tell a few jokes, there was that one like a few years ago with Obama. He goes, all of you covered my campaign. He goes, most of you voted for me. Everybody knows what the score is.
I mean, yeah. So why are we pretending like the, you know, like, and again, I use MSNBC as my focus because they're so obvious about it. The same way people use Fox as a focus on the other end. But it happens on most of the channels. People just really don't want to question Obama. They don't want to, like, put the boots to him the way they would to Bush or Clinton even or Reagan or anything.
He's clearly getting an easier track of it. But look, you know what? And this is one of the things in which I actually wound up outside. I read the book Game Change. Mm-hmm. Then they wound up making a movie about it anyway.
Right.
But I got to tell you, it's a great book. But one of the things you find out about Bill Clinton is early on in the primary, he really wanted to go after Obama.
Yeah.
And his wife and the other Axelrod and the other people were like, well, no, let's just not do that because we don't want to alienate. Obviously, black people vote for the Democrats in big numbers.
Right.
We don't want to upset them. We don't want to assert certain white liberals within the base. So they decided to take it easy. I just wanted to throw that out there. Something I give him credit for. He's, you know, he is who he is.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, let's go after him.
Right, right.
And he was right.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, like, but he was like, what is he, the only Democrat is willing to do? And the rest of them always kissing.
Well, now you have the situation where people who criticize Holder are accused of going after a black attorney general. People who are going to criticize Susan Rice are going to be accused of going after a black head of the NSA. And of course, you can't criticize the black president without it being considered racist or racial or becoming racial. And this is what happens.
Well, that's what they said about the Tea Party, too.
Right. The tone of
their entire formation.
Right.
Is just really is a racial backlash.
It's a reaction
and
to a black
they're,
man.
They're
yeah.
really not concerned about yeah. taxes and the debt.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, maybe for a few people in those parties, that is the case.
Yeah, it covers some
just
people.
The same way that it's the case on the left that you have black people who are anti-white. Yeah. Based on skin color alone. I'm not here to tell you that there's no racism in this fucking country, no bigotry in this country. Of course there is. But you can't take this situation and say that anybody who essentially criticizes the president, I tweeted that I said, failed socialist policies are not the exclusive province of white men.
Yeah.
Apparently, a black man in office has failed at his socialist policies.
Right.
So let's call it what it is.
Right.
Why does it have to be that we're attacking a black man?
But it's also, it's obnoxious because if they get away with this and people back down from yeah. criticizing him.
Which is happening.
Then he can do anything he wants.
Yeah.
He's never accountable.
Right.
And you can always just hide behind, well, you're picking on me.
Exactly.
I'm black. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. I mean, it's one thing if you were to find someone who said, that boy, that man, you know, whatever. And I guess I'm being a little bigoted because I did it in a southern voice. But
no, but I know what you mean. But also, you know, even when the Tea Party first came out, they found a few people in the crowd yeah. holding up some stupid signs
right.
with like a right. chimp on it or like something right. racial. Right. You know, like don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, and of course they don't help themselves. That like some of the signs were misspelled. Like you
right.
know, but
right. But I still maintain that if I went to a lot of like these ultra feminist groups or something, I'd find just as dopey people at those rallies
I can tell you right
so,
now.
So, I mean, you know, let's be honest here. Martin Bashir, you know, people respected him because he broke the Michael Jackson story when it came to molesting those kids or sleeping with those kids or whatever. So he got a little bit of fame off of that. But I mean, where is the integrity of the press on something like that? That's yeah. the thing that amazes me.
That's
where's the integrity
terrible.
Of the press? Supposedly, you're not, like I said, when you take actual events and say, Mr. President, did you know about the IRS scandal? Why is that code for anything? There is a scandal. It's been admitted to. Conservative groups were targeted.
Yeah.
We understand you covered up Benghazi. There are DOJ orders for the surveillance and following of reporters.
Right.
These are not imagined things.
And now this thing with the Verizon.
And now this thing with the NSA. So why is it? So why does Martin Bashir feel that this is just an attack on a black man?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's stupid.
It's also paternalistic in the sense that a black man could not conceive of somehow scheming like this.
Right.
you know what I mean? It, like in some weird way, you're more racist than I am. I'll give Obama credit that he is behind all of this potentially.
Yeah.
And that he's some genius mastermind politician.
It's amazing that Rahm Emanuel moved back to Chicago and became the mayor. Because if he was still in the White House, I would think he was behind all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy's a real scheming son of a bitch.
Well, most of the guys out of Chicago are. Yeah, that's just the way Chicago politics is. Yeah, they're rough and tumble.
Yeah, it's nasty.
All right. So enough on that. Let's move on a little bit. Hey, Judo Larry M., did you hear what our favorite midget in politics did this week?
No, I did not.
So Mayor Queen Nanny Bloomberg.
Okay, that midget.
Yes. Who is already on my shit list to begin with.
Yes.
And living in New York, Judo Larium, right outside our beautiful White Riot studios here in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
We see one of the atrocities of the Bloomberg administration.
The very horrendous and ugly bicycles.
That's it. Those fucking city bikes.
This is so lame.
For people in cities that still have some degree of civilization, Mayor Bloomberg went on a partnership with Citibank.
Yeah.
So now, just about, it seems, every 20 feet you go in New York City,
there's a line of ugly
half
blue
a block
bikes. Yeah.
is taken up, half a city block. And by the way, for those of you that live outside New York, in case you didn't know, parking for cars is at a premium in New York City.
Yeah.
Okay? You feed a meter for an hour, you'll get a ticket, and it'll cost you like $5 to feed a meter for an hour. You know what I mean? It's not a cheap proposition. It costs more to park your car in a garage than to own your own apartment in some cases. All right? That's how scarce parking is in New York, and Mayor Bloomberg has decided that he needs to take away a certain percentage of those parking spots for fucking bicycles.
Well, that's not surprising considering what he's done to Times Square.
Yeah, yeah. Just like he just hates cars.
But you know what it is? I remember I just told you, I just came back from Finland,
right.
Estonia, and Denmark and Norway. And in particular, in Copenhagen and in Denmark, there are more bikes than there are cars. Let me tell you something. You literally have to have your head on a swivel when you're walking through, even though it's a lovely city.
Yeah.
You have to have your head on a swivel. There are so many bikes coming from so many directions, and all the sidewalks are people and bikes shared.
Right.
Like at least here in this, you know, they're still keeping the bikes pretty much in the streets.
Yeah.
But except for certain delivery men who do what they do what they want. But I really think he went like on a trip over there and he just saw it and he loved it.
But the thing he doesn't understand is, as a culture, especially New Yorkers, you've got 9 million people. You're not going to fucking have people on bikes. And you have people taking lots of commutes. You know, it's not like a 10-minute bike ride to and from your home and office.
Yeah, but then there are also the people like me who do a lot of walking.
But that's besides the point.
That's a great New York tradition, is to walk the city.
Fair enough. But what I'm trying to say is, why would you put these obnoxious bike stands with credit card machines in the middle of streets impeding car traffic?
Right.
First of all, it's the fucking drivers that are paying for the infrastructure. Through gasoline tax, through licensing taxes, through all that shit. Bikers have the best thing ever. They don't pay for any of this shit.
Right.
And we're making accommodations on public roads for them. Right. So that's the first atrocity this asshole has done. And now the second one, he thinks he's liberating New Yorkers because he said, in order to service the outer boroughs outside of Manhattan, he's authorizing 1,000 new taxi medallions.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, here's the question I have for you, Jude O'Larian, and I'm pretty sure you'll understand what my question will be. Why the fuck is the city in the business of running taxis? Why are there medallions to begin with?
Yeah.
Why not allow the free market to say anyone can start a taxi business, whether you have one car or 1,000 cars?
Right.
And you set your own rates.
Right.
You pick up and take people wherever you want. Let the market decide how much people are willing to pay. These medallions, do you know how much a medallion costs?
Yeah, it's like...
it's like $500,000.
Yeah, it's some insane amount of
money. One of my neighbors, where I live, in one of the suburbs of New York, has a medallion, a yellow taxi cab medallion.
Right.
Because they're always this, the number of them hasn't changed. This will be the first change in the total number of medallions in something like 80 years. Those things, like any commodity that's limited.
It's stupid because he's putting more cars out there and he's putting more cabs out there, but he wants us to be greener and ride bikes. And, I mean, I mentioned the walking just because you mentioned the culture of the city. But what is the point of putting more cars? You have less parking. You've got more traffic with more cabs.
Well, it's the same thing as always. It's more government control over your life. It's more government distortion of a free market. The taxi situation in New York is one of the great examples of how we don't have free markets in this country.
Especially in large cities.
I can't emphasize this enough. Why is the city of New York in the business of regulating the number of taxis in the city? No. Why are they in the business of setting rates? The Taxi and Limousine Commission. Why are they in the business of setting the rates for cab drivers?
I have no idea.
I don't understand this. Do we not trust ourselves to regulate a free market that if cabs get too expensive, nobody will use them?
Right.
If they're too cheap, they'll proliferate?
Yeah.
That's how markets work. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are you limiting the reason taxis are so expensive, ladies and gentlemen, is because there's a limited number of legal taxis in New York.
Yeah.
That's why they're so expensive, just like any commodity.
And there are a certain amount of people who are always willing to pay for it.
Especially in Manhattan.
Right.
So why don't you just open it up, Jude O'Larian? Why can't this queen midget emperor of New York...
allegedly.
...understand a free market principle?
Actually, he does, I think, but not in certain cases... he's just lost. He's doing the nanny state thing. He's bullying people. I mean, look, I'm actually glad that I don't have to smell cigarette smokes every smoke every 2 seconds. But he's, if you think about it, it's all just part of, and I keep talking about this, this is all part of his legacy. He wants certain things done before he's out of there. And,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, I wish that they would always look at the MTA too. Why is the New York State running that piece of shit? I mean, yeah. All they do is lose money.
Yeah.
They keep raising the fare. Every time they raise the fare, the newspapers are full of articles about how unfair it is to the poor.
Right.
And people who are dependent on it to get to work and sometimes have to take like two subways and a
they
bus.
And they never raise it enough to cover their capital expenses.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
And put some aside so they don't have to raise it again for another 10 years.
But also pay off your debt.
Yeah.
Have some in the coffers and do all these repairs and this shit that they're doing. I mean, I remember back when it was like 75 cents or 90 cents. I mean, actually, when I was a kid, it was less.
Oh, sure.
But I do remember when it was 75 cents and somebody was really outraged that they moved it to like 90.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time telling the guy that 75 cents, they should just raise it to $1.50.
Right.
And he like looked at me out of crazy. I said, look, just fucking double it. I said, let them get as much money as they can. Let them, as long as they are committed to paying off their debt. And, I mean, I didn't think they'd do it. But the point is, let them pay off their debt. Let them do some new projects and get us some new, because at the time the big
right.
buzz was about new subways from Japan. I was like, let them buy their new subway cars that allegedly you couldn't write graffiti on.
Right.
And like all this other stuff. I said, and let them get on top of their, you know. And I said, instead of doing a piecemeal, 90 cents.
Where they're always behind.
$1.10, $1.25.
Yeah.
And they never catch up.
Yeah.
And every time they raise it, people just freak out.
Yeah. Well, here's the other problem I have for you. What happens in most businesses when you can't make a profit?
You go out of business.
You go out of business. When has the fucking MTA ever turned a profit?
Never.
Why is the government constantly subsidizing them?
And if they have, it was decades ago.
Decades? More? Like 100 years ago? Centuries ago?
Well, I mean, if they did, it goes back like...
But that's my point. Why wouldn't the government just say, look, we gave it a shot. We can't make it work.
Yeah.
Why are we siphoning everybody and bleeding everyone dry?
Also, the other thing they're doing now to save money, as you know, they're cutting service.
Yeah.
So there are less trains going to less areas. There are less buses.
Right.
And they're getting rid of, I mean, the old stop where I grew up used to have this token vendor. It's gone now.
Right.
It's just an empty space. You can see where it used to be on the ground.
Right, right.
But they removed it. It's just empty.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You know, I had this conversation with someone earlier today at lunch, and I said, listen, the United States as a nation, and I don't mean to sound like all flag and apple pie or whatever, but the United States achieved more than most nations ever did in their history in a very short time span. Well, some of it was luck, but a lot of it was the particular culture we happened to stumble upon.
Yeah.
This great combination of rugged individualism combined with a sense of nationalism, being fortunate enough to have natural resources in this land that we colonized, natural barriers,
entrepreneurial spirit,
not fucking having government in your face. The concept of us being subservient to our government is relatively new. I know youngsters out there, college kids, don't know any better. They think they're supposed to be serving the government. But I can tell you right now.
And they're thinking they should get things for free.
Yeah. At the end of World War II, if someone came to you and said, we think you should be serving the government, there'd be trouble.
Yeah.
There'd be trouble. All right. This is a relatively new phenomenon in our history.
It's post-60s.
Yeah. Where we think we're subservient somehow to our government. Hey, fuck that. Why do we need to go there? What built this country? Why are we going away from that? Why are we going away from the individual, the entrepreneur, the very epitome of Adam Smith's invisible hand from the Wealth of Nations, where individuals pursuing their own self-interests benefit society greater than a centralized government looking to take for that benefit.
And when has centralized government ever worked out?
Never.
I mean, you know, I ask that to people, and sometimes they'll throw out like some answer like Sweden or something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, I've been to these countries. They don't have the kind of centralized government. I mean, they've got socialist principles, but... You know, let me
tell
you.
But it's also a small.
It's a country. It's a country of 9 million people.
It's 9 million people who are largely all the same ethnic background.
By and large,
or you know, certainly a lot more than the U.S. They're all the same ethnic group. If there's a state religion, they're all part of the same state religion.
Right.
So it's a lot easier if the people chose to be led like sheep and lemmings, it's a lot easier to implement.
Yeah.
We're in this country, we've got every ethnic group in the planet. Everybody's trying to come in. You're trying to cobble together 50 states and all those municipalities underneath. Why do we think that a command and control government will work here? It doesn't work. You have to leave it up to the people. And look,
also, it won't work because the people in the 50 states are very much about their state.
Sure.
You know, like when people talk about Missouri as the show me state, if you go to Missouri, they don't think of themselves as New Yorkers or Montanans,
right.
You know, or Californians. Like,
right.
You know, they're very proud of their state, and they care about, like, you know.
Jeez, I don't even know why they would be, but.
Yeah, well, they got the Creation Museum in Kentucky, so they're one up on us. But
yeah,
but the point is, they really do care about that. That's not a lost concept. You know, every state has its own state flag.
Right,
they're
right.
Their fucking state bird. And,
yeah.
But people do care about that. And if you try that kind of one size fits all shit, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and
I
every
tell
time
you right now, and you get
not,
a lot of upset people. Too.
Yeah, and so on that note, it's just I want to say to Mayor Bloomberg, stop tweeting out that you've increased fairness for every New Yorker with this taxi thing. All you've done is increase government control, intrusion, and coercion of New York citizens, New York City citizens. That's all you've done, you little midget queen emperor.
Yeah.
And that's all you've done.
And we're not greener.
No.
And you're not making this city any better in terms of human traffic or car traffic.
No.
If anything, it's worse.
Right.
It's worse. And what John said before is absolutely right. You can't find a place to park in this goddamn city.
Right. It's horrible. And the best part I like now is that those bike stands are becoming like magnets for all the homeless in New York.
Yeah.
So they're already complaining that a lot of the bikes have been stolen.
Stolen.
Damaged. Yeah. And basically, the homeless are using them as shit stations. So all the homeless get together and take a shit and piss at all these like
the
bike
riot,
stations.
I would
in
like
New York.
To encourage homeless people to find a bike stand.
Yeah, all you homeless out there, you've got nothing to lose.
That's
if
right.
you get arrested, you're probably better off than where you are right now.
Of course, if they're homeless, they're probably not listening
yes,
to the show.
Yes, but if you are, please go take a shit on every city bike stand that you see in New York City. Leave a little present and a message for Mayor Queen Midget Bloomberg.
And take a shit on Rachel Maddow's bike. <with you. laughs>
Yeah, anyway.
Anything else you want to chat about? The heckler?
The heckler? You want to end it on the heckler?
Yeah, some heckler. The other day, Michelle Obama was speaking, and there were no cameras allowed.
Right.
And
Of course.
And a heckler was heckling her about the fact that she wants a law banning discrimination from federal contracts.
Yeah, I believe she said, no, she was yelling about the following.
About discrimination.
She was a lesbian, hardcore lesbian, this heckler.
Yeah.
And she was yelling that she wants to see federal laws guaranteeing equality before she dies.
Yeah.
So in the grand tradition of very tolerant liberalism, Michelle Obama walked up to her and basically said, you can shut up, you can take the mic, but in either case, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
she said, I can't do this.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the other biddies in the crowd were like, no, please stay.
Yeah.
And of course, the heckling dyke was escorted
yes.
out of the editorial.
But that was a very clever way actually to get rid of her. Besides, what she didn't really want this woman, I think her name was Ellen Sturtz.
Something like that.
I don't think she wanted Ellen really getting to what she was heckling. Michelle did say she's a single mom, so.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. But how funny is that the tolerance president, the president of color, and his wife, who should be sensitive to these issues,
are very religious and in the back of their minds are not.
She couldn't wait to get rid of that. But look, in all fairness, I stand with the First Lady on this issue, Judah Larian.
Really? Why?
Well, nobody likes a mouthy dyke.
Then why do you like the... No, stop that.
No, I didn't say that. No. That's
Phil,
a joke.
Phil,
that's
shut
a joke.
Up.
That's a joke.
Stay in the booth.
Yeah. We may have to beep that out.
Beep.
We may have to have Phil do that in post.
Okay.
So those of you that couldn't understand what Judah Larian just said.
You're probably
said,
homeless.
Send him a tweet and he'll tell you what he actually said. But trust us, our lawyers are happy that we beeped it out.
Hashtag truth about the
No, stop. You did it again. You did it again.
What happened?
You did it again. You really have no mercy on me and Phil. You don't care how many times we have to go back and censor what you say.
Well, you can't wear a shirt that says Mountain Dew.
Who's doing that? All right. Let's wrap this up. You've been listening to The White Riot Show. This has been Big Fat John.
And Dudelarium.
Don't forget, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. And don't forget, our Vine accounts, Dudelarium, giving you some ancient wisdom from the East, from the Far East. Big Fat John.
Dudelarium.
See ya.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. I've been drinking heavily.